Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. D-Day arrives Monday for Spectrum Originals, the new video on demand programming venture from cable operator Charter Communications. LA's Finest, co-starring Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba as Police Buzz on the Beat, is the opening attraction. Executive producers Brian Margolis and Brian Sommier join me next in an internet radio exclusive live from where else? LA. RTV popularity on Roku is Dust, offering speculative fiction with technology and science themes. General Manager Eric Bromberg will come your way next half hour, and we'll meet filmmakers David and Keith Lynch, whose short subject Zero highlighted the recent Tribeca Film Festival. Also ahead, Kenya Barris announces first Netflix creation, ABC keeps the key TGIT lineup, some cancellations to talk about, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and presented on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Happy Friday afternoon to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television, now in its second decade on Blog Talk Radio. 65 degrees top of the hour. We have a great hour for you ahead, and we invite you to interact with us. How do you do it? You raise your voice, you pick up the phone, and you dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio or Speaker. Another way to get involved is our chat room, and it's open for business for you right now. Simon Apple 04 by name. You will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com. If it's televised already, we have somebody in the room. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we get you involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. The brand is from L.A.'s Finest, who is live from L.A. after these news notes. Blackness creator Kenya Barris has organized his first Netflix series. Barris and Rashida Jones will co-star in Black Excellence, which, in Barris's words, will put the family sitcom on its head. The series will deal with parenting, relationship, race, and culture topics. Barris just received the go-ahead to produce Mixed Dish for ABC's next season. And staying with ABC, count the network's third net lineup, a.k.a. TGIT, to stay intact at least one more season. Grey's Anatomy, Station 13, and How to Get Away with Murder, all from Shonda Rhimes' Shonda the Land Venture, are set to run through mid-2020, with Grey's sticking around through mid-2017. That would be its 17th season. Grey's executive producer Chris Vernoff also will take on similar duty at Station 13, opening up crossover storyline options for both series. Two Fox rookie season entries got being slipped this afternoon, The Passage and The Cool Kids. And in the last hour, ABC kicked out another pair of one-and-done season efforts, The Kids All Right, which got a lot of acclaim from critics, and The Fix. And that is news notes for today. A year ago, a pilot called L.A.'s Finest was in big consideration at NBC, but ultimately NBC passed on the project. But somebody else didn't. Spectrum Originals. The new video on demand venture that premieres Monday from Charter Communications. And here we are a year later, and on Monday, the first 3 episodes of LA's Finest, co-starring Gabrielle Union and Jess Gallo, who also serves executive producers, will go on Charter Communications systems nationwide in 41 states. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an exclusive interview, 2 of the key executive producers of the series, both with the same first name, both were executive producers on the popular NBC series The Blacklist, Brandon Margolis and Brandon Sommier. Brandon M. and Brandon S., welcome to the program.
Hey, Simon.
It's great to have you both aboard, and in order to be clear about who we're talking to, we're going to have Brandon M. and Brandon S. And Brandon M., we'll start with you. Can you believe that what was a pilot in contention a year ago is about to become, on Monday, a series?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mention a year ago. I'm having flashbacks to that week of in advance of upfronts, just remembering what it was like. You know, a lot of people considered us as a shoo-in to get picked up, given the auspices attached. And by that, I mean Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba, and coming with Jerry Bruckheimer's Television. You know, we were surprised and disappointed, obviously, that NBC did not see us as the right fit for their network. And I remember, you know, we got on the phone with Gabrielle after the news had broken, and I was compelled to sort of apologize. I said, Gab, I'm so sorry. You know, this project started with you, and we wanted so much for this to go. And she said, well, don't apologize, because I don't think we're done. And here we are a year later. She was right. We found a new home, and we're about to premiere, and I'm just so excited for everybody to get to see it.
Mm-hmm. Before I get to you, Brandon, I just want you to know we have 7 people already in our chat room. So if you're in the room, actually 8 now. So if you're in the room, put your thoughts in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Brandon asks, I talked with Catherine Pope, who's the head of content at Spectrum Originals, and she said the reason why she wanted this show to be the leadoff for her venture is 2 things. First, because it showcases a kind of show we haven't seen in a while, the female buddy show. Cagney and Lacey, more recently Rizzoli and Isles on TNT. But the other thing is she wanted to show a program that had diversity on both sides of the camera, and this one certainly does.
Absolutely. We are so proud of what we were able to build with this show. You know, not only do we have 2 women of color as the lead in front of the camera, but behind the camera, I'm African-American, our director producer is African-American, our co-showrunner is African-American, female, and we populated the room with diverse voices, you know, from all walks of life, so that we would get a different kind of show than the show that's written kind of by the guys that you've always heard of, like show. You know, the same guys write all the shows, and all the shows are going to sound the same. And so we decided, well, let's be the guys that try to break that mold and put some different voices in the room and see what we can come up with. And we were blessed with some really talented, you know, diverse writers, female writers. It was truly an embarrassment of riches in our writers' room.
Mm-hmm. Brandon, how did Gabrielle and Jessica come together to do this?
Well, like I said before, you know, this whole idea started with Gabrielle. She had always been interested in what her character, Sydney Burnett, was up to after the events of Bad Boys 2. And, you know, she came to Jerry Bruckheimer and expressed an interest in reprising this role for television. So when we got a chance to sit down with Gabrielle and pitch what our version of a Bad Boys, you know, TV show centered around Sydney Burnett would look like, you know, she really responded to our notion of sort of recreating the format that the films established, which was a partnership of dynamic personalities, but also trying to put our own spin on it so that it wasn't exactly a carbon copy. And so we knew we had Sydney Burnett to work with, and we wanted to create, you know, sort of a familiar but new opposite for her, which was a woman who had a family, but it's not the same family unit that existed in the films. Rather, she's a stepmom, and she's recently married, and we learn over the course of the series that she has an equally compelling backstory that we filled in for Sydney since the last film. So we had this role that was this going to be amazing counterpart to Gabrielle, and she really insisted on reaching out to the best people possible for this part. And when we found out that Jessica Alba was actually considering a meeting with us on it, we thought it was a joke. We're like, no way, Jessica Alba is going to do this show, right? And it turned out she had been looking for something to do to get back into television, and she really responded to the character, and more importantly, she connected with Gabrielle on a personal level about what they wanted to try to build with this show. And again, how lucky are we that the two of them agreed that this show was the way to do it.
Yeah. Brandon asks, when you finally put these episodes to camera, how fast did the chemistry between Gabrielle and Jessica emerge?
Between those two women, it was almost instantaneous. You know, they started talking on the phone right away. You know, with Gab, who called Jessica and said, "Look, we got the show. You really got to do this show." And kind of from then on, it was the two of them saying, "Like, we're in this together. Like, we're going to give this show our all. We're going to try to make this something different." And you know, they really followed what we put down on paper. Some cool stuff, and then they would come in and say, "We can go bigger, we can go better, we can go bolder." And you know, it was amazing to have that kind of freedom. So literally from day one, the two of them, before we started shooting, got on the phone. Then we did table reads, and it was kind of like, "Oh, these women get each other. These are two grown women who have lived full lives, who are bringing a whole new point of view to these characters." And then you put them on screen, and you realize not only do they have the acting chops and the action chops between the two of them, but they're also both hilarious, and they would play off of each other with comedy with a timing that you really can't force. You can't put two people together and just like make that happen. It has to be the kind of alchemy that you get when you just end up with the right two people in the role.
Eleni's Finest, which last year at this time was a pilot that was not picked up by NBC, on Monday becomes a television series, the first series from the brand adventure Spectrum Originals, available to Charter Communications subscribers all over the country. The first three episodes will premiere this Monday, with two episodes a week following after that. We have an exclusive interview going with two of the key executive producers of the series, both of which came from the Blacklist. And that is Brandon Margolis and Brandon Stonier. By the way, we should point out that Life of Blacklist, LA's Finest, is a Sony Pictures Television production. And we've got the Brandons with us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. So I'm coming with you live from New York. That's the other coast. 65 degrees at the top of the hour. Delighted to have you with us. With your catch us on Blog Talk Radio Speaker at the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you have a question or comment for our Brandons, give us a call. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, six people already in the room. Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll feature The Spanish Princess. That's a brand new miniseries now playing Sunday night on Stars. Also on Monday, the broadcast networks announced their new fall season lineup, starting with NBC and Fox. We will have those lineups for you in detail on the show. First half hour will spotlight NBC, which will unveil its lineup at Raising Music Hall in the morning, and then we'll have Fox before they do their thing here in New York in the afternoon. It's all coming on Monday, live, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Brandon Margolis, once you got going with your writers and directors, what kind of stories did you want this show to have? How did the it's not a case of the week, I understand. It's more toward character development, more toward arc story development.
Yeah, when we signed up with Spectrum Originals and we met with Catherine Pope and Liz and everybody at their development team, you know, they were really interested in the show. You know, they saw the pilot that we produced for NBC, and there was a lot of things about it that they loved, but they really saw this as an opportunity for us to explore these characters. And they were so freeing for us as writers to really focus on their lives and sort of the fact that, you know, in a traditional cop show, you have these expectations on a network of you have to have certain procedural beats and you have to get to your act outs and you have to close the case. And for them, they really wanted this show to be about two powerful, dynamic women who happen to be cops, and you went home with them. And it wasn't necessarily about closing cases, but rather their relationship. I remember in an early meeting, they were like, you know, we don't even care if you close a case by the end of the episode. And we were like, whoa, does that mean we could stagger cases and maybe have something take an investigation that takes more than an episode to solve? And they're like, absolutely, play with the format, but don't lose sight of the relationship, because that's what we're interested in this show being. And so for a room full of writers to just hear, make it about the character and show us something we haven't seen before, and particularly make it feel premium. They want it to feel elevated and you know, aspirational, and that sort of wish fulfillment ride you get to go on with a Jerry Bruckheimer film. You know, they encouraged us to explore all of that. So for us, it was really freeing and exciting to get into their lives and to make this show really about the family you choose. And again, with these amazing leads and the rest of our cast, it was just such a pleasure to be able to write to that.
Brandon asked, how did the knowledge that this is going to be the first series of a brand new venture, and by the way, because it's video on demand and it's ad-free, it's a very experimental venture in a way. Nobody's done anything like this with video on demand television. How did it impact the way the show was produced, the attitude of everybody going in?
Well, look, honestly, the beginning of the process definitely took some trial and error. We wrote several episodes of the show and then decided, no, that's not it. You know, we had a true blank canvas that Spectrum was saying, we want this to be special. And, you know, that is a daunting task for a writer when you sit down at not only a blank page, but kind of a blank network. They didn't have an identity yet. We were helping to create that. And, you know, to their credit, Catherine and Julia and Liz and everyone over at Spectrum, all of the executives, were honest about what they liked. They were honest about what they didn't like. And, you know, but by the time we came out the other end of that, you know, process, we had something that was truly different and truly special. You know, we don't worry about commercial breaks. We don't worry about the regular ebbs and flows of a standard network with diesel show. You know, even, you know, we don't worry about hitting the specific character moments that you think belong in a show, because we were given the opportunity to really think outside the box and say, well, yeah, but what would happen in real life? And what would the real version of this be? And how would that person respond? You go home and talk to your husband about what happened because, you know, we have to get to the information by the end of the hour, or do you go home and it stews for a week because that's what real people do? And you know, just the opportunity to have that sort of blank canvas and fill it with, you know, what we thought the stories should be, where we thought the story should take us and the character should go, and not necessarily just what belonged in a TV show, was awesome.
Brandon, what kind of cases or what kind of stories are we going to see in this series? And by the way, I'm also curious what the reaction of Los Angeles filmmaking community has been to the making of this show. Did you get a lot of cooperation from the LA film authorities to shoot anywhere you wanted?
Well, in terms of the cases, you know, our characters are robbery homicide detectives. So that really encompasses, you know, a wider range of crimes that could happen in the Los Angeles area. So there's a lot of, you know, murders and there's robberies and thefts and things that sort of build upon each other. And for us, you know, like I said earlier, we got the chance to really dive into these cases and slow the pace down and potentially draw things out. And so right when you think a case is about to wrap up, you realize there's more to it, which happens in real police investigations all the time. So, you know, it was fun for us to get to play with that format, in addition to delving into the backstory and the personal conflicts that our characters have, which I don't want to spoil at this point, but they do sort of come to the forefront as the season progresses. And in terms of shooting around Los Angeles, the city was incredibly supportive. You know, it was really important to us to make Los Angeles feel like, you know, it's almost cliche to say it, but to feel like a character on the show. So important to the Bad Boys DNA in the films was that Miami really felt front and center to that story, and you associate the Bad Boys world with Miami. And when we were creating this spinoff, you know, we looked at potentially setting it in Miami, and we realized, you know what, that we don't want to fall into the same mold as the films and have people have expectations that Mike and Marcus could show up at any second. We want our characters to stand on their own. And, you know, we found another city with palm trees and an ocean that had a lot of, you know, iconic shots that we could use. And it's also very rare nowadays to be able to shoot Los Angeles for Los Angeles. So we really got to embrace the different neighborhoods everywhere from the Santa Monica Pier to, you know, to downtown, to MacArthur Park, to the LACMA Urban Lights exhibit, like any iconic place we wanted to go, the city was super supportive.
Brandon, the great thing, it's interesting, by the way, that today we have a show where we have our first guest have the same first name, Brandon, and our second bunch of guests, two of them have the same last name, Lynch. In your case, you both worked together on The Blacklist. And I'm wondering how that helped you when you were dealing with so many other executive producers in this stew. You got Jerry Bruckheimer, who did the CSI franchise. You've got people, you got Jonathan Lippman, who did also did CSI. You've got Christiane Reed, who did Lucifer, which is coming back on Netflix soon. Pam Bursey from CSI New York. You've got Jeff Gaffin, who has a background in unscripted television, most recently to Tell the Truth on ABC. And people from other, including Anthony Kropp from Suits, who directed the first episode. How do you bring such talents from all different backgrounds together in the same role?
Well, you know, we on The Blacklist, one of the things that we learned was to listen to the voices. You know, we were kind of running that room for a little while, and in that room, there were so many talented writers, so many talented people came through the room, that what we learned was, look, you've got all these smart people together, listen to them. And, you know, at the end of the day, there can be, you know, one decision made, but if you kind of take all the smart things, you get really good at in taking all of the smart things and trying to come up with the best possible answer. And that's the same thing that we did here, you know, from Gaffin to, you know, Gavin and Jessica are executive producers with an equal voice to any of those those other people that you just named. And Jonathan Lippman is one of the smartest men in television, and Christy Ann Reed, one of the smartest women in television. You know, these people have a very specific skill set in making great TV. So the best we can do is to take their advice. The best we can do is to take their suggestions and kind of throw it into the mixer and you know, put the good suggestions together. And if something doesn't work, save it for later, because it'll probably come back around. And you know, you get really good at that in writers' rooms. In writers' rooms, you get good at you know, hopefully listening and really picking out the good stuff and bringing it to the forefront.
Mm-hmm. LA's Finest, the opening attraction of the new venture Spectrum Originals from Charter Communications, premieres this Monday with the first three episodes, and then every week after you get two new episodes through mid-June. We've got two of the key executive producers with us. Both used to work on The Blacklist, a very long-running show on NBC, Brandon Margolis and Brandon Sauvier, and they're both with us live from, guess where, L.A., right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you from the other coast. That's New York. The line is you're with us on this Friday afternoon, wherever you may be joining in. We'd love to have you join in by phone or chat room, so do so, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. But now we have five people in the room at this moment. Next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, one of our favorite guests covering the world of diversity will be back with us. She was the first marketing chief at Oxygen, Linda Ong. Right now, she's chief culture officer of Civic Entertainment Group. And she hasn't been around for a while. We're going to ask her about how Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Spectrum Originals, et cetera, are adding to diversity, and where do we go from here? And then we're going to meet one of the top new talents of Broadway. He is knocking them dead as Tom Robinson, alongside Jeff Daniels, in the critically acclaimed production just 20 nominated of To Kill a Mockingbird. His name is Gabenza Akinbite, and he's also the director of a pilot that was showcased at the Tribeca Film Festival a few weeks ago called DC Noir. It's from George Colacanos, the famed writer producer with David Simon of The Wire, Treme, and more recently The Deuce, which is wrapping up a third final season later this year on HBO. We will hear from Gabenza Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. I think you'll really enjoy hearing from him, too. Next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Okay. Before we go any further, I understand that one of you Brandons had a bit of an injury on the set recently. It did make some headlines in different places. So let's get out of the way without the grisly details. Whose Brandon was it, and how are you doing now?
It's Brandon Sonia. Not to say that the other Brandon wasn't injured. He also broke three of his toes. But Sonia here, I lost my right foot, so I did have an amputation. It was a serious injury. I'm healing up. I'm doing a lot better now. I still obviously don't have a foot, but I'm working on getting the prosthetic as quickly as I possibly can. And you know, just excited to get back to making the show, which sounds ridiculous. I understand that people are out there going, really? But look, I love what I do. I got injured in the course of doing what I love, and you know, I do everything the same again, except for, I guess maybe try to keep my foot next time.
Yeah. For both of you, what has been like the greatest joy in getting this series off the ground and getting it realized to the point where we now are going to start seeing it on Monday?
This is Brandon Margolis jumping in. The greatest joy has honestly just been the collaboration. You know, when this whole process started, Brandon and I had an opportunity to pitch our version of the show to Jerry Bruckheimer Television and then to Gabrielle. And to our surprise, everybody kept saying yes. You know, everybody kept saying, we want to work with the Brandons. We like what you guys are saying. Let's keep going. And then NBC suddenly said yes. And then they said no. But then Spectrum Originals came in and said yes. And Pam Vissay said yes to joining us, and all of our cast members said yes to coming on. And, you know, television is such a collaborative business, and you really – there is no one person who can do everything. And, you know, for a writing team in particular, we understand how important it is to lean on each other and to bring everybody's best skills to the front. So it's just been a real joy to see the collaborative effort produce something that the world is going to get a chance to watch on Monday. And we're just so proud that people kept saying yes to us.
And Brandon, not just for you, but also for Gabrielle as well, and really see this all the way through.
Oh, sorry, say it again.
I'm saying that for you, what has been your greatest joy, but also what's been Gabrielle's greatest joy to finally see this all the way through to us.
Look, I'll tell you mine. We spoke about my accident, and, you know, I was in the hospital for about a week. I came home, and we decided we were going to, you know, we had to finish. We had two more days to shoot, and I started getting visits. And most of the crew, you know, a crew is 200 people big, most of the crew made it by my house, called me by phone. The construction guys came out and built ramps because I'm in a wheelchair. You know, everyone contributed what they could contribute. And to the person, they all said, we believe in what we were doing. We believe in this show. We think this is a great show. And that is maybe the best thing that can happen. Is you spend all this time and all this energy trying to do good work and hoping that you're taking care of the people that work with you and that everyone believes in it as much as you do. And, you know, unfortunately, there was an accident, but the upside of that accident is that I got to see in action that what we did worked, that we made a show that was so good that the people working on it believed in it and you know, felt like a family and truly enjoyed being there. And, you know, generally a crew scatters after a production is over. And, you know, we finished production. We had two more pickup days that we had to do because of the accident on set. And about 85% of our crew stopped doing what it was they were doing. You know, Tank left jobs they were on to come back and work on our set because they believed in our show and what we were doing. And that is, it was truly a special experience. And as for Gab, you know, the thing that she most often says about kind of seeing this thing through is how we did it. Like, she believes in the show. We love the show. We feel like we made something truly special. But also, the fact that we did something truly special and we didn't all have to give up our lives to do it. You know, in Hollywood, you work all day and all night, and everyone expects you to give up your life. And we were a very family-friendly set. I have four children, ages 7 and younger. You know, Gab just had her daughter. Jessica's got 3 kids. Margolis has 2 kids. You know, we are all family people, and we love what we do, but we love our families more. So we would go to work, and then we would go home at the end of the day. And the way that we were able to do it, the fact that everyone brought their kids to set, that we know each other's families, that we all participated in this kind of group environment of love and care and really taking care of each other is probably what's most special about them.
LA's Finest, co-starring Gabrielle Union and Jessica Alba, who also serve as two of the key executive producers. It all begins Monday on Charter Communications Video On Demand Services at Spectrum Originals. It's the opening attraction, which will also, by the way, before the year is out, include another Sony production, The Revival of Mad About You, starring Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt. Remember, it's on Video On Demand. It will run commercial-free on your local Charter cable system if you are in the area. There's Charter cable systems in 41 states around the nation. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.spectrumoriginals.com. That's www.spectrumoriginals.com. That's LA's Finest, a Sony Pictures TV production. Brandon Margolis, Brandon Sonier, thank you both for coming on the program today. Good luck with you and everybody involved in making this series. I see the clips, by the way, because I'm a Charter subscriber, I should point out, point of disclosure. And I have to tell you, I think this could be the opening attraction of not only a long-running series on your end, but also a long-running venture. I think it's going to do a lot in the world of television. And it's been a pleasure to have you both on.
Thanks
for having
us. It's a true pleasure on our end. Thank you.
Thanks, Simon.
You're welcome, Brandon. Have a super weekend. Enjoy.
All right. Watch the show, everybody.
Brandon Margolis and Brandon Sonier, executive producers of LA's Finest on Spectrum Originals, joining us live from LA. More tomorrow's Satellites coming your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. You know, Game of Thrones is coming down the wire on HBO, and guess what? You can now get another one of the great books by George R. Martin that made that series fly, A Clash of Kings. How? Get a trial run for 1 month to Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 100,000 titles to choose from, including a growing catalog of Audible originals. That's original radio productions, including one woman, one man shows, Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater productions. And guess what? You can listen to any Audible title on any device including whenever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is just sign up for a one-month trial at audibletrial.com/televised, and right now you can get 3 free audiobooks, 2 of them audio originals, with that trial. And remember, audibletrial.com gives you great customer service from the parent company, Amazon.com. So hear for yourself why audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. With your Game of Thrones fan or not, you will find a title for your personal taste. Remember, it's 3 books, 1 month trial, and it all kicks off at audibletrial.com/televised. When we come back, we're going to hear about a speculative fiction service that's getting a lot of momentum. It's called Duff. And there'll be 2 of the filmmakers who've used Duff as their showcase. We will have General Manager Eric Bromberg and filmmakers from The Short Subject Zero, David and Keith Lynch. They will join us live from L.A. and London, respectively, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio and www.speaker.com, together with more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for the KDM Plus Show. Check it out every Monday night. It's talk, variety, music, and more. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And the best of BTR you can find 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, Friday afternoon edition. Tom Abbott with you live from New York. Great to have you aboard wherever you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. And we got a great trio of guests coming your way in the half hour ahead. And we want you involved, so interact with us, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 0418. 8 viewers in the chat room already. So use the phone or the room. Either way, we will hear you. Well, today we have another new venture to showcase. In our first half hour, we showcase Spectrum Originals, the new video-on-demand venture from Charter Communications, one of the major cable operators in the country. And now we're going to showcase Dust. It's a venture from Gunpowder & Spy, the fast-growing movie and TV production studio. I believe Dan Topland, the former MTV executive, was one of the key players in the formation of it. And Dust is now a programming service on Roku, on other smart TV sets and smart devices, and on multi-channel bundles like Zumo. And one of the things they've done recently is showcase a short subject called Zero, which recently played at Tribeca Film Festival. Joining us live from Los Angeles is the general manager of Dust, Eric Bromberg. Eric, welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And joining us live from London, where it's prime time out there, are the two filmmakers who made Zero possible, David and Keith Lynch. David and Keith, happy to have you with us.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having us on.
It's a pleasure. Eric, we'll start with you. What is Dust all about?
So Dust is all about being the preeminent science fiction channel and brand globally, eventually. And so we started by seeing that online there was no digital destination for science fiction enthusiasts. There was nowhere to go and say, I want great sci-fi, thought-provoking, you know, and kind of mind-bending. So we started to gather short films that already existed and said, let's roll those up and let's become, you know, it's going to enter that empty space and be a destination. And we call it Dust. And initially, we started only on across social, on Facebook and YouTube. And now we have hundreds of amazing short films from all sorts of bold, new, diverse filmmakers. And we have also gotten into long form, like with film and TV, and launched channels now on Roku and Samsung. And pretty soon, we're launching on Apple and Amazon and, you know, all the major players, Comcast, et cetera. And so it's been quite an adventure over the past 2.5 years, building this from square one, literally from a Facebook page to a huge channel and brand.
And hopefully we're going to talk about a brand new competition that just started with Justin Lin's production company. So stay tuned for that, because we may have some science fiction filmmakers out there that might want to be involved. David, by the way, David, are you related to David Lynch, the famous filmmaker behind Twin Peaks and Blue Velvet?
No, I mean, that name has been a curse for me for my entire career. It was bad enough being a filmmaker named David Lynch, but about 5 years into our career, we were doing this shameless thing of Googling ourselves after a film competition, and we realized that David Lynch's second name is Keith. So we're David and Keith Lynch, and he is David Keith Lynch. That's the reason why we had to go by the brothers Lynch to kind of brand ourselves and separate ourselves away from him. But yeah, not related at all. It has helped us get into a can party or two.
Well, we have the Brandon team by first name in the first half of the hour, so now we have you with the Lynch in the last name, so great to go. David, how long has Zero been in the works for? And I understand that there's a Game of Thrones star that's involved too.
Yeah, that's right. Bella Ramsey, who plays Lyanna Mormont in Game of Thrones, who very recently had an amazing scene. I won't say any spoilers just in case there's people who haven't seen it, but yeah, she's a phenomenal actress. We're very lucky to work with her. She was 14, I think, when we worked with her, and she's one of the most professional actresses or actors we've ever worked with in our careers. She's a joy to work with. But Zero kind of started a few years ago in our heads. We had a feature film idea, and Dust had picked up our previous short film, Trial, and they came to us and said, guys, have you got anything that you think could work as a short film that we could kind of use it as a pilot for a feature film idea? And Zero was already there, and we developed it with Dust and right from the ground up. So it's been a few years, but we made it last year. I think it was March. So it was great to actually get the world premiere at Tribeca just a few weeks ago. It was an incredible experience.
And can you talk about the plot? Because it's one of those post-apocalyptic tales.
Yeah, it is. It's a high-concept idea, but we've tried to boil it down to a really personal story about a young girl who's fending for herself in the apocalypse, and all she's got to go on are the rules that her father set for her. So we're telling a big story, but in a really personal way. That's the kind of sci-fi we've always been drawn to. Like, if you look at one of the films we always go back to is Gareth Edwards' Monsters, and the way that he told this like really intimate story, but with this backdrop of something huge. And I think that's, you know, always been a touchstone for us. So that's where we're coming from with it.
And anyway, we have seven people now in our chat room, so if you have a question or comment, put it in the room. That's SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televive, or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Eric, how did Zero come your way?
How did Zero come to us? So we had licensed the short film Trial that the Brothers Lynch did, and we just thought it was superb. It was, it's great. It stars Tom Cullen, who's a rising star in an episode of Black Mirror, and he's in Nightfall and some great shows. And we just thought it was just incredibly well done. And we said, what else do you got? And that was it. You know, we just want to keep kind of betting on tomorrow's next big filmmakers, you know, to find the next J.J. Abrams, the next Christopher Nolan, the next Steven Spielberg and beyond. And so they pitched it to us. We loved it, and we got involved.
Eric, is one of the mandates of Dust to commission original science fiction series that would play in your place? And if so, how close are you to getting a original series off the ground?
Yeah, so now that things are moving, that is definitely a mandate, and we are looking for our next series. We are developing a number of projects, both based on our short films, things like Zero and others, based on graphic novel, intellectual property, based on other books and whatnot. And so, you know, something like, you know, more grounded, like an Ex Machina is something we look for as like a series, but even something huge like The Expanse is also right up our alley. So we really want to cover the spectrum as long as it's really, you know, kind of thought-provoking and examining the human condition. It fits our criteria.
You're hearing Eric Bromberg. He is the general manager of Dust from Gunpowder and Sky. It is the speculative fiction channel, often covers topics of science and technology in a futuristic way. And Dust you can find on Roku, you can find on Zumo, you can now find on Samsung Smart TV sets, and very soon on Comcast, I believe through their X1 format. And Eric joins us live from Los Angeles here on Tomorrow We Tell Live. Also joining us are the filmmaking team of David and Keith Lynch. Their short subject, Zero, recently played at your film festival, and we will talk about that shortly. And if you have a question or comment for any of the three, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. We've got seven people in the room. We'd love to hear you. So put your comment in the room or give us that call. Sooner you do, sooner we hear from you. Don't forget, Monday on Tabavi Televised, The Spanish Princess is now playing on Starz Sunday night. We'll have one of the producers of the program on, and we'll also give you the skinny on what NBC and Fox are going to be showcasing in their broadcast lineups in primetime this fall. Both of them will make presentations here in New York on Monday. We'll have NBC in the first half hour and the second half hour, Fox. And that's all coming up, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tabavi Televised. And, gentlemen, we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tabavi Televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, my name is Justin, calling from Indiana, and I've got a question for Dust.
All right, Justin, pleasure to have you with us. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious. They've got a lot of great short films coming. As I already said, very thought-provoking. I noticed that a lot of the Dust viewers are requesting that some of these shorts that come through, even if they're not developed by Dust, to be transformed or picked up by Dust to be made into a feature length. Is that something you guys are going to option?
So, yeah, the short answer is yes. We are constantly on the lookout, and you know, we have to kind of filter through what we think could become a good film, but absolutely. That was a huge part of getting into business with the brothers Lynch for Zero and other filmmakers that we're connecting with. And especially from a broad base, we want to also look at the next kind of bold filmmakers that have a fresh and diverse look at the world. And that's the lens through which they're telling their stories about tomorrow. So we are absolutely optioning various short films that come to us and are in the middle of attaching, you know, big A-list names over the next 12 months.
All right.
One last question, if I may.
I really appreciate it. Go ahead.
Yeah, just one last question. Sorry about that. Prospect, did you guys anticipate the reception that you received on the feature film Prospect? And that's all I got.
We think it went well. We think, it started, that's a great example. It started as a short film that we saw and scouted and didn't have a hand in that short, but we recognized the talent and said, this would be really great to put all our effort behind with Dust as a feature film. So we got incredibly lucky to get Pedro Pascal, who is now the star of the upcoming Mandalorian. So, you know, the star has been rising, and now it's really entering kind of top A-list status. So, but yeah, we're thrilled by it. You know, it was very kind of within the strike zone of what we look for. It's essentially, you know, it's a very grounded piece. It was about a girl and her father and going on an adventure that they kind of get in over their heads. And, but by way of, science on an off planet moon. And so we just thought it was fascinating. So we're thrilled by it.
Thank you.
Justin, thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Justin from Indiana being with us here on Tabavi Televised. By the way, Eric, was that film Prospect funded by cryptocurrency? Because I know there's been some efforts, and we've covered them, to try to fund both films and TV shows from various ventures using blockchain and cryptocurrency.
Yeah, it was actually. It was a part of it. You know, there was a partial element of financing that came through cryptocurrency through a particular platform called Breaker that we did a deal with because we felt like who better in the world of science fiction than those who are kind of at the cutting edge of science. So it felt like a natural partnership. And so they came in with a piece and they actually then showcased the film on their platform for a certain window. So it was a great partnership, and it's definitely a world. And as you know, exploring on the show, you know, that could grow rapidly because it allows a democratization of financing and getting behind, you know, amazing content. So it was great.
Breaker, by the way, is the new name for Singular Geek TV. We've had them on the show about a year and a half ago, and we're following still them and other ventures that are using blockchain and cryptocurrency to develop new movies and TV series that would be presented on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, among other platforms. Keith, what's been the reaction to your film from the Tribeca Film Festival? What kind of feedback did you get from the viewers there?
It's been amazing, really. It's always that nervous thing when you show a film on the big screen for the first time, but we had a load of people come up to us and say, really nice things, which is lovely, and they really responded to it, to the performances, to the story we're trying to tell, and the visual style we went with. So it was quite an incredible experience, really.
Mm-hmm. And David, now that you have that in your pocket, what do you think about as far as the future for Zero is concerned? Do you want to make it a movie, or you want to make it a television series, maybe both? We've seen people try to do both. What do you think?
Currently, the plan is to do a feature film. That's what we've developed. And it's kind of taking the same characters and extrapolating it out to a feature film version. This is really, the short film is kind of just a pilot for that. Similar themes, bigger scale, but also, perfect for a first debut feature. And, you know, we'd love to make it with Bella Ramsey, who to us is a future star and is already killing it right now. Like I said, we feel very lucky to have worked with her on it.
Eric, who are some of the other filmmakers that you are very high on at Dust?
There's a bunch, and they wouldn't be household names, so I won't kind of dive into them. But I would say that they're, you know, what's really interesting is that there's a large number that are international, and that's something that we really pride ourselves on. And so, and just from different walks of life, and obviously with the Brothers Lynch in London and came our way, but also out of Korea, we're working with a filmmaker, putting together a film with a huge producer that we're going to take to Netflix and Amazon and the rest pretty soon. And some Latin American filmmakers that we're working with. There are two sisters out of London that are exceptional, and we're working with them on a project that we're going to TV series for Amazon. So I think that's just testament to, you know, what we're really looking to build here, that also to in this, in today, you can't really kind of look to the future without having, you know, this kind of freshness of and uniqueness of voices. And so that's what we're really targeting right now in this filmmaker first environment.
Yeah. We are speaking with Eric Bromberg. He is the general manager of Dust. It's the science fiction programming service available on Roku, Samsung Smart TV sets, other Smart TV sets and devices, multi-channel bundles like Zumo and others, and very soon cable systems as well. And we've also got the filmmakers behind the recent Tribeca Film Festival Showcase Zero. That's David and Keith Lynch joining us from London. Eric is joining us from Los Angeles. In a moment, we'll talk about a new film competition that you might want to be interested in. And we'll talk about that in a bit. This is Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Apple, I'm with you live from New York. Delighted to have you with us this Friday afternoon. Get a question or comment broadcast, as Justin did from Indiana. Ring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room. Simon Apple will do it for me. 10 viewers are already in our room. So get on the room, put the bus in, or get on the phone. We would love to hear from you. And coming up soon, we will have our Class Trivia Question of the Week. Stay tuned. You could win two books in play, including the new book based on the acclaimed HBO original series, Gentleman Jack, The Real Analyst by Ann Schulman. So stay tuned. We'll give you the question. If you're first correct answer, you will win that book and one other as well. Eric, you have a competition coming up that Justin Lin is involved with. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we have combined forces. It focuses, though, on student films, or at least just students. So I'm not sure how wide it ranges for our listeners, but we would still love to see their content. But it is a film competition, and we thought it'd be cool to throw it back to H.G. Wells' The Time Machine, which is considered the first book ever that actually, you know, covered time travel. So basically, it's a competition that in 3 minutes or less, you make a short film, and you have to use one of three lines, which we provide from the original book, from the novel The Time Machine. And that has to be spoken in the short. So that's the only criteria. And other than that, it can kind of go any direction you want. And then Dust will narrow it down to five finalists, and then Justin will choose the winner. And it's something that, you know, Justin has done obviously some major science fiction, including the new Star Trek movies. So it's exciting. And it launches June 1st, and it is open until July 31st. So it's a two-month window for any student or former student who wants to submit.
And to your credit, Eric, one of the things that your service has done has been trying to showcase the role of women, the role of people of color and women of color in science fiction. You've done, I understand, some panels, some screenings around the country, and also you're going to be showcasing an original series that was originally done for Justin Lin's YouTube channel.
Yes. So, yeah, it is. It's in the very kind of fiber and DNA of what we do for the new voices to also have them be diverse voices. And so we've had a couple screenings called The Future is Female, where we rent out a theater and we showcase various short films all made by female filmmakers and then have a question and answer afterwards. And it's been exceptional. You know, we invite all sorts of people from the community, from the DUST community that we've cultivated, alongside big Hollywood execs and agents, you know, to just get these filmmakers on their radar and really be an advocate for them. So that's been huge. And again, working with Justin, who feels the same, the series that he produced a few years ago is a series called Drone, and it focuses, you know, on the two main characters are both people of color. And so we just felt that was a great alignment to partner with him in such a name and a series they already had that we could then put it in front of our audience on DUST so they could really appreciate it and get behind it.
David Keith, before we go, in addition to developing Zero as a feature film, are you working on any other projects? And is a TV series or a made-for-TV movie in your future?
We're writing a feature film that's doing a certain board, the International Space Station, at the moment. We've just literally submitted a draft today. That's something we're really excited about. And we're developing a TV series over here with a couple of companies, Origin Pictures and Lawton Entertainment. So, yeah, no, we're going to work in both areas, film and TV.
Mm-hmm. And for either of you, what about a home for Zero at other film festivals or TV festivals? Any possibility that we could see Zero at other film festivals around the country?
Yeah, we've got a few more festivals coming up. We can't announce them just yet. We have got Sci-Fi London, and we've got Chelmsford Film Festival, which is very local to us. It's where we went to school, so that's quite special. And we've got one that we can't announce, but will be announced very soon, that we're really excited about. But really, the main thing for us now is getting it out via DUST, which is such a huge audience, and it's the core audience as well. It's sci-fi fans, so that's going to happen in July, and we're like really excited about that. That's going to be the biggest audience that we're going to get from the short film, really. So that's what we're aiming towards now.
Yeah, and it's what we made it for. I mean, the festivals are amazing, and it's an incredible experience to premiere at Tribeca and these festivals we've got coming up. But ultimately, you know, we made it to get out to the DUST fan base, and just really, really stoked to be doing that in the next couple of months.
Yeah. And before I let you go, Eric, any thoughts about perhaps DUST being involved, as well as Gunpowder and Sky, your parents, in the New York Television Festival and series that's coming up next month in Denver, some of the other TV festivals happening around the country?
Sure. Yeah, we're constantly involved in different festivals, and whether it's a sponsor or putting a block together, a showcase, again, just to you know, kind of really expose and elevate the filmmakers of tomorrow that we work with. So we know the Series Fest folks in Denver. Years ago, I participated in the very first, in the inaugural year at Red Rocks, and so we very much respect them and think they're great. So we'll be involved ongoingly for sure.
It's a wonderful new science fiction service that also, in addition to featuring more than 500 short films by the science fiction writers, producers, and directors of tomorrow, also has some classic science fiction on television, Mystery Science 50,000, the Ray Bradbury Theater, Beyond Westwood, and a whole lot more. And you can find out more online about this service at watchdust.com. That's watchdust.com. Again, DUST available on Roku, Zumo, Pluto TV, Samsung Smart TV sets, with other smart TV sets and devices, and cable operators coming aboard in the future. Eric Bromberg, the general manager of DUST. Keith and David Lynch, thank you both, all three of you, very much for coming aboard. Congratulations to you, David and Keith, on the showing at the Fact Film Festival of Zero. Hope it makes a great movie, full-length film, or TV series down the road. And we'd love to have all three of you back.
Thanks very much, Simon.
Yeah, it's been great being
on. Yeah, thanks so much, Simon.
You're very welcome. Let's all stay in touch. It's been a pleasure to have all three of you aboard. Have a super weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Eric Blomberg, the general manager of Dust Dray, is live from Los Angeles. And filmmakers David Keith Lynch, no relation to the other filmmaker, David Lynch, Dray is live from London. Time for our class trivia question before we say goodbye this Friday afternoon. If you're first with the correct answer, you can win Gentleman Jack, The Real Ann Lister by Ann Choma, based on the popular new HBO acquisitive miniseries about the real Ann Lister. And also Delta-5 by the top new science fiction writer, popular name of the next Michael Crichton, Daniel Suarez. Here is the question which we introduced on Monday. Name the two actors who have the same starring role on the popular Western series Colt 45. Name the two actors who have the same starring role on the popular Western series from the 1950s, Colt 45. It ran on ABC from 1957 to 1960. It's from Warner Brothers. Some of the episodes are also on YouTube, at least one with either star. So if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please be sure to include your name and where you're emailing from. First correct answer, you will win both books. If you missed the question a moment ago, no fear. We'll post tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. I really hope you enjoyed today's show. I did, to showcase two fairly new ventures. One that is new coming up on Monday, that's Spectrum Original, and that's been around for a while, but it's new to many, many people because of its distribution, and that's Dust. And I'd love to hear what you think about both of these ventures and what they're going to be offering now and in the future. And I want to thank all of our guests for being with us this hour and all of you for tuning in the chat room, calling in as well. Don't forget, coming up on Monday, The Spanish Princess, which is on Sundays on Stars, will have one of the producers on the show. Plus, we will have the news about NBC and Fox's fall season lineups. And next Friday on the program, from Civic Entertainment Group, Chief Co-Director Linda Ong, and from the Broadway hit play To Kill a Mockingbird, and the pilot that was at the Tribeca Film Festival, DCR directed actor Jabenga Ekembe. That's all coming up Friday, 3:50 Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up an episode you missed, we invite you to tune in anytime at our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast. It's also available 24/7, different places. It's available on iTunes, Apple TV, the Spreaker Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you have our episodes. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your book for TV? Is that where it's going? Love to hear and reply to you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter, UBCSimonTWBT. We love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, also those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and our radio. Our production associate, BTR's Candace Williams, and he shows Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Sauberg, executive content producer, and the co-founders, Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought today by Audible.com, private limited partner of the New York Television Festival, and an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For three free audio books and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. But Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening. Have a super Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. And we'll catch you on Monday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio Speaker and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Wherever you're up to this weekend, please make it safe and make it great. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.